Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Pure Faith Podcast, a podcast where we discuss all things Bible. I am your host, co-host, just the brains of the operation.
And a little crazy person.
I am crazy. Michelle, this is my brother Mitchell, and we ask that you like this video, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and don't forget to hit the notification icon to be notified when new episodes are released. I'm a touch crazy, is what I'm told. But life is good. I might be crazy, but your household is crazy. Your household is crazy. I called yesterday was Zeke's fifth birthday. Mind you,
yes.
You're seeing this, you know, a week later, but it was his birthday yesterday. So about 8:30, I thought, okay, they should be done with dinner. Hopefully they're not in bed yet. I'm just gonna FaceTime Zeke to wish him happy birthday. Oh my goodness. Mass chaos. But Ephraim was so cute. He's so cute. Yeah. Hello. Goodbye. Hello. Because he can see my face and he just grinned from ear to ear. So cute. But your other two, I don't know what you guys gave him for dinner, but they were running around like they had way too much sugar.
What? I don't even think they had sugar last night. What did they have for dinner last night?
It looked like sausage on there. That's what it looked like when I FaceTimed.
That's Zeke's favorite food is sausage.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So we made a pack of the brats that you gave us.
Oh, okay, good.
So we had a brats and regular sausage. So the regular sausage for the boys, me and Paige had ate the brats.
Okay. Sugar, so I don't know what they had.
They had that. They had no birthday some grapes. Cake? They did have rice, so some carbs.
Yeah, but... my goodness.
But by the time we were done eating, it was like, it's too late for Zeke wanted ice cream. I'm like, it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think Eli and Ephraim had a little bit of the coffee cake that I just gave you.
Oh, yes. Mitchell said that Zeke made.
No. I lied. That was this morning for breakfast.
Okay. But he made coffee cake for his birthday, him and his mom.
Yeah.
And I got a piece.
I got kicked out of the house, me and Eli.
Well, I saw that you had a hat on. It was 8:30. I'm like, did you just get home from work?
No, I got kicked out to the garage.
Okay.
So Eli wasn't interrupting them as they were cooking.
So what did Eli do?
We cleaned out a refrigerator.
Oh, was he super excited?
He was having fun until he wasn't, and then he was gone. Just normal.
Oh.
So.
Well, you'll have that. Anything else going on?
I don't think so.
Not so much.
Not so much.
Okay. Well, it's January. Well, it's February.
February.
It is February. So today was the first time we saw sunshine in, I don't know, 8 days.
It's actually really nice out.
So nice out today. Oh, so we got a puppy.
Oh, yeah. That's new.
This is new from last week. We got a puppy. It is a Cavalier King Charles. He's 11 weeks old. His name is Sir Wyatt.
Wally.
His name is not Wally. His name is Wyatt. Anyhow.
Could have been Wally.
Well, we didn't name him. The person who they got it from is who named him. Anyhow. So this is new. And today, well, no, I had to take him to the vet 2 days ago. And when I came home, it was raining. And by the time I walked to the vet, since it's right down the road, it was snowing. And then just potty training this puppy in the weather the last couple of days has been torture because I don't like to go outside. I go outside when it's necessary. Necessary. I'm the one who gets to train this puppy because Phoebe, who is still with us, is 16 years old, and she does not like the puppy, and she is Don's dog. So Phoebe stays with Don. I let the puppy out multiple times in the weather. Today was beautiful, though. I would have stayed out there all day. Sunshine hitting your face. And on Saturday, I get to have your boys over to our house.
With the puppy.
With the puppy. This is going to be interesting because puppies like to play. They like to nip. So I'm assuming there's going to be lots of tears at our house.
I don't know. Jazzy nips at him.
Well, then maybe it won't be so bad.
Jazzy will use them as springboards. It is the funniest thing. If they'll be like just walking by and she'll be hiding and she'll like jump out and like jump off their back, like literally hit them and like jump off of them
and go fly in the other direction.
Yeah. And then take off and then go and hide.
I have not seen this recorded yet.
No, I think I've tried recording it before and go figure, whenever you start recording, she doesn't do it.
Right. Right. I get that.
Or she'll come up short or there's a lot of times she'll just jump by them.
Do they? It's like, and then, do and they say anything?
No, they're completely clueless. No, because they'll just like stop and look around, and then just keep going.
Oh my goodness! Well, I am. Don says I'm crazy for having the boys over with a puppy, but they need to get used to him. So I've got a baby gate. If it gets to be too much, or I'll send the puppy upstairs with. Either I'll send the puppy upstairs with Daniel or I'll send the boys upstairs with Daniel. I know, right?
Yeah.
How do I pick? And I'll wait to give them their ice cream bars. Oh, wait.
It's ice cream bars.
Oh, remember the video I sent you of Zeke? He said, Dad, give me these. These are delicious.
Oh, Paige's at the grocery store right now. I should text her and tell her to get some.
Well, you can come to my house and get what we have. I don't eat them. The only reason why I got them is because I had to run to the store and Zeke was at the house. And I'm like, oh, maybe he would like to have these. And he did. And I got him his favorite chips. He was so excited.
You're a sucker.
I am a sucker. Well, I don't get to see him very. I mean, I see him, but I don't get to spend just quality time with Zeke. So when I do, I like to spoil him rotten. So, and rot his teeth out of his head.
Luckily, there's still his baby teeth.
I know, right? So, all right. So you've put together a podcast. A Bible study. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Are you ready for it?
Are we ready to get into it?
I don't know. I just made the comment that it was stressful. So I was like,
well, I wasn't sure if I was going to get my notes done. So here's the issue I ran into. This is a topical Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
Topical Bible studies typically have a lot of rabbit holes.
They do.
And I've been chasing down some rabbit holes. And
they're taking you in the right direction.
There's times, like when I do this at drill, like last week, we had 20 some minutes of actual Bible study. I had like 4 to 5 hours of preparation for that 20 minutes. So. And that didn't have nearly as many rabbit holes as what this did. So I've been chasing down these rabbit holes. I've been doing a lot of reading, a lot of research, trying to make sense of all of this so that I can then present it to everybody who watches this in a
clear and understanding manner.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to say
it. So we can absorb
it? I was going to say a palatable format.
Okay. I mean, if that's what you want to say.
Yours is better.
I think people maybe can relate with my wording a little bit better.
Sure.
Yeah.
So this is my attempt. I do have enough notes, I think, to get through this podcast.
Okay.
But we're not going to get very far.
Okay.
So, as in, we're not even going to make it through this next piece. But anyways, we'll get into it. So, we are in Hebrews 11:6. And I'll read Hebrews 11:6 again so everybody remembers where we are.
All right. I didn't set my timer before that. And I thought, oh, so you got 20 minutes of Bible study.
Okay.
Okay.
Hold on. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
So, Hebrews 11:6 reads, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So before we get into our next section, if you remember last week, we talked a lot about the fact that we really hit that faith really hard. And because we covered in without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's where we ended. And we hit really hard on this concept of faith And we talked a little bit about this idea of pleasing him. And we kind of talked about the reference to the Greek translation of walking with God. Mm-hmm. Well, the Hebrew translation is walking with God. The Greek translation would be pleased him
mm-hmm.
or pleased God. But I never went back to actually make that connection. So I want to do that real quick.
Okay.
So again, we hammered on faith.
We did.
And I don't want to go that deep again right now. I highly recommend you go back, watch our last episode and watch that mm-hmm. again. But just to continue from that, we want to, let me read this again. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. It's impossible to please God. So we hammer this faith. There's different aspects of faith. Now, how does us having faith, living faithfully, how does that please God? The best way that I can think of to explain this is as parents ourselves.
Okay.
You know, I'm a father, you're a mother, mm-hmm. we have children. Well, when those children do things that are pleasing to us, mm-hmm. as in they are doing what we consider to be the right things without us having to tell them mm-hmm. or yell at them, or like right now, my boys don't do this very often. It takes a lot of persuasion to get them to do the right thing. But there are times, especially with Zeke, now that he's now five, but there are times where I see him doing what I consider to be right without me having to yell at him or tell him.
Mm-hmm.
He'll just do, it's just little things. He even did it this morning. Eli threw a fit because I told him to shut games off. And Eli's hitting the iPad and he's throwing the remote. And so I have to discipline Eli. Mm-hmm. Well, while I'm disciplining Eli, Zeke's picking up the remote, putting it away. He's doing all the, without me telling him, he's just mm-hmm. doing these things, putting them away. And he's doing that because he knows wants to please me.
Right. He wants to please you. And he knows that you have to get going too. I mean, he knows that there's a schedule and.
Yes. Well, I have to admit, being a father has really helped me actually increase my faith because it helps me to relate to God the Father.
Right, right.
So
you want to please him.
The way things operate. Now that I am a father myself, I can make that connection better to the way God looks at us mm-hmm. as his children.
That's kind of what I was thinking too. When you said something like that, I was thinking to myself, you know, when we do something right for the Father, our praise that we get back, you know, an open door, a good thing that happens, you know, to us in our life type thing, you know, that we please him and he gives back to us.
Yes.
It's the same thing with our kids.
Yes.
You know, they do something, we praise them, you know, and they get joy out of that when we praise them. Even just to say thank you, you can tell that just gives them that joy.
Yep. So that this idea,
mm-hmm.
it can go both ways. I mean, obviously here we're talking about pleasing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if our kids are doing something mm-hmm. wrong that then breaks our heart, you know, there are both sides of that coin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But for what we're looking about here, it is pleasing him. Well, this, again, is saying without faith, it is impossible to please God. So where does this faith come in? Well, it pleases God when we live our lives faithfully. Another connection here is comparing or connecting faithfulness to righteousness.
Yes.
Because what is righteousness? Righteousness is doing what is right in the eyes of
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
When we live our lives righteously,
mm-hmm.
then that pleases God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, faithfulness is part of living our lives righteously. It's having that faith, that trust, that confidence that God has us,
right.
that he's going to protect us, that he will never leave us and never forsake us, that he will lift us up,
mm-hmm.
that he has plans for us, plans to prosper us, all these things.
Mm-hmm.
So when we live our lives in a way that we are giving God glory for those reasons, because we're showing that trust and confidence in his promises, then that pleases God.
Yes.
So I think I hit it hard enough there. But I just wanted to go back because we never actually went back to make that connection at the end of last week. So now that we have that covered, it's time for the next part of that verse, which is, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists. So this is the one that we're going to be here for a bit.
Okay.
Because I really want to take a look at this idea of drawing near to God. And if we want to draw near to God, it's just like this verse says, the first step is believing that God exists. Sorry.
That's okay.
So, again, this is going to, there's a lot of repetition here because it's all stemming from the same thing, but I think it has to be said. In order for us to have that confidence, that trust that God does exist, we need to build up our faith. And we're not looking at the definition of faith here. We're looking how we build our faith, which is through knowledge and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
As you gain knowledge and understanding, your faith grows. As your faith grows, your knowledge and understanding grows. They go hand in hand. Well, at a certain point, once you reach a certain level of faith and knowledge and understanding, then trust and confidence starts to come into play. And you're starting to trust the word of God. You're starting to have confidence in the fact that God is who the Bible says he is. But at the same time that this is happening, you're also most likely going to be seeing God working in your life. Like you were talking about before, you're going to see things happen.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see doors open. You're going to start to see God's path laid out before you. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Me neither.
One second.
Oh, wait. Is it a chocolate milk?
Mm-mm.
Oh! What is that? Is that tea?
Mm-hmm. It's just water with...
Oh.
Some...
Oh, as I say, because it looked colorful.
Yeah, it's a fruity water mix.
Okay.
With some cranberry juice.
That's not a commercial.
No. Okay. So that kind of threw me off.
That's okay.
So we're building up that trust and confidence. We're building up that trust that God is who he says he is, that confidence that God is, I think I said that wrong, but that confidence in God's word, it goes either way.
Yeah.
And so as that is growing, and again, you start seeing God working in your life, it's all of this kind of built together. And everything will just continue to grow, and you know, your prayer life will start to come into play, and your prayer life will grow, and your faith will grow, and your knowledge and understanding will grow. Everything will just start growing and keep growing into a snowball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, at some point you're going to come to that conclusion that God is who he says he is and that God does exist.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did he exist in his word from the Old Testament and the New Testament, but he still exists today in the way he is working in your life.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So that is where, once you get to that point to where you know that God exists, that's when you get to the point that you can draw near to God. But this is a pretty big but here.
Okay.
It's not that simple.
Oh.
We can't just draw near to God. We are a sinful people.
Right.
We are born with original sin. Mm-hmm. We're not worthy to go straight to God. So for that reason, we need to have a mediator between us.
Mm-hmm.
And reading Hebrews strongly hits on the fact that this mediator is a high priest. And the high priest referenced is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is our high priest. Jesus mm-hmm. is our mediator. He is the link between us and God
mm-hmm.
because we're not worthy to go straight to God. We're covered in the filth of sin. It's just the way it is. But through Jesus, through his death on the cross, through his burial and resurrection, he has the power to wash away our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's through Jesus that we can have that communion with God. Because another way to look at it is God is the Holy of Holies. If you don't know exactly what that means, if you think back or read back in, I don't know if it was Exodus or Numbers, but whenever the tabernacle was built, and then even going forward into the temple, there the innermost room of the tabernacle, and then following that the temple, was called the Holy of Holies. It is a room that one priest went into.
Right.
I think once a year.
I think so.
And it was extremely sacred. It's where they kept the Ark of the Covenant. It's just like an extremely sacred place in the eyes of the Jewish people. Well, that is technically God for us today. He is the Holy of Holies. But if you remember when Jesus died on the cross, the veil between, or the veil that separated us from the Holy of Holies in the temple, was torn in two. And in same way, Jesus tearing that curtain, opening up and exposing the Holy of Holies, that is how Jesus works for us in comparison to God. God is the Holy of Holies, but it's through Jesus that we have access to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Hebrews really highlights this fact, this idea, this concept. And so hold on, I got you caught up in my notes because I was going rogue.
You were going rogue. That's okay.
So we are going to start to look at this whole idea of drawing near to God through Jesus as our high priest.
Okay.
And we're going to start by doing this in Hebrews 7, 11 through 28. How much time do we have left?
Oh, you get 7 minutes.
Okay. So we'll get into this. So I'm going to start by reading Hebrews 7, 11, and then we're going to stop and we'll talk about that because.
Right.
That
you don't want to read all.
Very, okay. Very loaded.
Okay.
And that's why I'm going to do this section. I'll just do it verse by verse.
Okay.
So verse 11, now if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek rather than the one named after the order of Aaron?
Oh my goodness.
So I want you to hear this. I'm going to read this again. Now, if perfection had been attainable through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there have been for another priest to rise after the order of Melchizedek rather than one named after the order of Aaron? This is huge. I read this this is huge. So what this is saying is that perfection is impossible.
Right. Yes.
Through the old covenant.
Yes, it's impossible.
And the old covenant was the Levitical priesthood and the law.
Yes.
So basically the law, the old style of doing things, perfection was impossible through that.
Right.
So if perfection was possible, like through that old way of doing things, then why was there even a need for Jesus to come? There. But not only that, the fact that Jesus did come, why didn't he come through the Levite line? Instead, Jesus came from the line of Judah.
Yeah.
Not from the line of Levi. So Jesus was not a part of that Levitical priesthood. He was outside of that priesthood. But yet, Jesus is our high priest.
Right.
And not only that, but now it's bringing up this fact that, for what further need would there have been for another priest to arise after the order of Melchizedek? So, you remember the name Melchizedek, right?
I do.
Do you remember why you remember that name?
Weren't you going to name your child? You sent us a text message that Ephraim's name was Melchizedek or something. And
Melchizedek Nimrod Highcamp.
Yeah. And we're all like, please tell us that's not going to be. Because from you, I could see this. From Paige, I could not.
I like the name Melchizedek. But who is Melchizedek? What is the order of Melchizedek?
I don't know.
See, and this is one of the rabbit holes that's... Like, I knew who Melchizedek was. I knew the story of Melchizedek. But this is the rabbit hole that I found myself in, and chasing down that rabbit. So in order to start to understand this, we are going to go to Hebrews 7, 1 through 4. Remember, this is a Bible study, so...
We study the Bible.
Yeah. So we were in Hebrews 11, 6. Then we went to Hebrews 7, 11. Now we're going to Hebrews 7, 1 through 4. So I'm going to read all of 1 through 4. So this reads, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him. And to him Abraham apportioned a tenth part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name," and this is Melchizedek. So Melchizedek is first, by the translation of his name, king of righteousness. And then he is also king of Salem, that is, king of peace. And he is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. See how great this man was, to whom Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the spoils.
So he had no mother, he had no father, he had no genealogy.
Neither beginning of days nor end of life. So we're going to cover this pretty hard. Do we have time?
143.
So, yeah, we probably really don't have time to...
I'm going to tell you probably don't. But just looking at this, I'm like, how did he become who he is?
So, until next week, if you want to read the actual story of Melchizedek, it is in Genesis 14, 17 through
24. Oh, you have it right here.
Yep.
Okay.
And... we're not going to read. I'm not planning on reading that, because there's not a whole lot more information in there than what there is here in Hebrews. There are a few things that I will point out, but overall, this actually has more information in it about Melchizedek than Genesis does.
Okay.
So whenever we come back next week, we will break this down. This Hebrews 7, 1 through 4.
Letter by letter. If you haven't seen how Melchizedek is spelled, that on top of itself.
What? It's Melchizedek.
Yeah. This is why I don't say words sometimes.
And I say it Melchizedek. There are a lot of other pronunciations, like Melchizedek. There's just a lot of different ones. I just like Melchizedek.
Because it just rolls off your tongue. And that's why you wanted to name Ephraim Melchizedek.
Melchizedek Nimrod.
Nimrod.
Yep.
Nimrod.
Yeah. Nimrod was a great warrior in the Bible. Read the stories, Shell.
Read the stories. I'm going to read about Melchizedek. All right, so.
Uh-oh.
We thank you for joining us. Please leave a comment on this video or go to our contact page on purefaithliving.com to send us a message. And as always, if you like what you hear, then we ask that you share this show with others so we can all work together in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't forget to subscribe, and we will talk to you again next time.
Have a blessed day, everybody.